He was just a little man climbing up into that tree. A wretched, poor, lost sinner, just to see what he could see. But then the Savior called his name, and into his house he came. Then Zacchaeus stood and called him Lord, and with wonder his heart did sing. He called my name, I've never been the same. He called my name, I was the reason that he came. I caught a glimpse of heaven's love, the Father's Lamb sent from above. Oh, I caught a glimpse of Jesus, and I've never, no, I've never been the same.
Wandering through this world alone, burning down with sin and shame, a wretched, poor, lost sinner, yet the Savior called my name.
And when by faith I vowed to pray, he came into my life to stay.
I so marvel at his love for me,
and with wonder my heart till see. He called my name, I've never been the same. He called my name, I was the reason that he came. I caught a glimpse of heaven's love, the Father's Lamb sent from above. Oh, I caught a glimpse of Jesus, and I've never, no, I've never been the same.
Oh, I caught a glimpse of Jesus,
and I've never, no, I've never.
Thank you, folks. Wonderful. God deliver us from dead, dry-eyed, last year's bird's nest services. Amen. I could call that intellectual, polished stuff. Nope. Sing about Jesus. Your heart gets touched. You get a little emotional. Bring it on. Amen. Wonderful. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Good singing today. And how much more better it is when the microphones are turned on. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. So that was good. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bragg. Thank you, the family. Genesis 19. If you are able to stand, join me in honoring God's word. And that's what they did in the book of Ezra. We don't just pull this out of thin air. They stood when the word of God was read. Good practice, if you're able. If you're not able, that's fine. Don't feel bad. Genesis 19, verse 50. Now, I'm not going to read all the verses here. So we're picking up in the middle of the story, although we will refer to other parts of it. So verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, I want to take that phrase as my title today, kind of the theme of the message. And while he lingered, I want to speak on lessons from lingering Lot. Lessons from lingering Lot. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus and for calling our name and for saving us. And what a wonderful day that was. And Lord, if there's someone in our presence this morning who is not sure of their salvation, not sure that heaven is their home for a Bible reason, I pray that today might be the day of salvation. I pray that you would work on that heart. And then, Lord, for those that are saved, I pray that you'll speak to us as well. May everyone leave here today with the Spirit of God working in some way, some fashion, some manner on their heart. That's really why we came. We came to honor you, to exalt you, to hear from you. Holy Spirit, fill us this morning, speaker and listener, so that can be accomplished, is my prayer. In Christ's name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Have you ever been somewhere and because of a sense of danger, you were anxious to get out of there in a hurry? In a hurry. When I was in college, we were having a special day in the bus ministry, and they instructed us to go to different businesses up in Chicago and explain what we were doing on this particular Sunday and see if they wanted to donate any items for us to use for this special day. So I was going to the different places in my area and some off my area. I went to a candy store. I forget exactly where it was located. There in Chicago, broad daylight. I went in, asked them if they would donate some candy. And they said, yes, come back such and such a time and place, and we'll have a box of candy to give away for your special day. And so I showed up at the appointed time. Again, broad daylight, bright sunlight. I had my 1973 Chevrolet Impala as long as a boat. You know what I'm talking about? Those of you that remember cars, long as a boat. And had that with me. So I parked it there on the street, walked into the office, got the box of candy, was walking back to the vehicle. And I just, out of my peripheral, I noticed that two men fell in step behind me. And so I was walking. I had parked, you know, a little bit of ways away from the office there, entrance to the office. And I'm walking. I kind of picked up pace a little bit, and they stayed right with me. And as they got close to the car, I noticed that they split. So one's going to go on this side of the car, one's going to go on that side of the car. And I thought, you know what, whatever I do, I better do quickly, okay? And so thankfully, you know, we don't have this stuff back in those days, folks, okay? And thankfully, some reason, I hadn't locked the door of my car. I'm not sure why, but I hadn't locked it. So, man, I jumped in, and at the same time, I hit the button here, and I leaned over and hit the button here, and they both were standing on either side of the car. I cranked it and took off. Now, I don't know what they intended to do, but I don't think it was to wish me well, all right? And so I got out of there in a hurry, and I thought just all that process was happening, you know, in the moment, you're acting quickly. Maybe you've been caught in a situation like that where you had to get out in a hurry. Maybe it was a bad storm, a blizzard. You were anxious to get away from where you were because it was not a place of safety. Lot should have been anxious to get out of Sodom. But the Bible says, and while he lingered, Lot was living in Sodom, judgment was hanging over the city. God had mercifully sent two angels to deliver him and his wife and kids before the fire and brimstone fell from heaven. And he lingers. The word means questioning, hesitating, delaying, reluctant. Tarrying. He's lingering. Was it, in fact, I was going to say, but he lingered so long that finally the angels had to take his hand and his wife's hand. So one angel grabs Lot's hand, his wife's hand, and the other angel grabs the two daughters' hands, the Bible says, and they actually lead them out of the city. It's unbelievable. Lot. God is going to destroy this place with fire and brimstone raining out of the sky. Come on, let's go. What are you doing? Let's go. Was it material possessions that Lot didn't want to leave behind? Was it valuable papers he was trying to gather at the last moment? Was he in a state of shock? Because sometimes that happens. Events are so out of the norm, you're in a state of shock. Or was it that Lot was just in love? with his home and his lifestyle in Sodom, whatever it was, I'm not sure. Lot had to be taken by the hand and pulled away before he and his family would have been incinerated in the fire and brimstone that was going to come. There's no doubt that God counted Lot righteous. No doubt about it. Meaning what we call saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and 9, the Bible makes three references to the fact that Lot was just and righteous in the eyes of God. Three references to that. Here's a righteous man. Here's a saved man in the eyes of God. Here he is, living in the most wicked cities in the known world at that time. And wrath is about to fall on those wicked cities. And God's been merciful to get him out. And he's lingering. He's taking his time, waiting, questioning, hesitating. You know, look, I am thankful to be saved. I enjoy life here on earth. I enjoy the opportunities that I have to work and to serve and to play and recreation, to be a part of a family, both at home and at church. But this world is not my home. I am not in lockstep with the values that the world holds today. I cannot live by its system of morality and its system of justice, which is no justice. This world is not my home. I'm not, oh, God, get me out of here today. But if the rapture takes place today, there's not really anything here to hang on to. Lot's roots were so deep, that even with judgment coming, he lingered and he had to be led out of there to a place of safety by the hand. Now, what can we learn from Lot's lingering? We're hearing three truths this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that sin had lost all sinfulness. Sin had lost all sinfulness. Now, I want to show you some verses. Look at chapter 19. Look at verse number 4, okay? So the two angels, they come to Sodom, and they go right to Lot's house, right? That's where we're picking it up in the story, verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So here are these two angels. They come into the city of Sodom, and here comes all these Sodomites. And they're pressing around Lot's house. Verse 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? By the way, angels are always found in the masculine gender. Okay, where are the men that came into thee this night? Watch it now. Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Folks, I won't even go into it. This is not talking about, hello, my name is Terry. What's your name? This is wicked. This is vile. This is heathen. This is filthy, sorry intentions on their behalf. Verse 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, what's the next word? Lot's a born again man. He's a saved man. These men are not his brothers. But you know what had happened? Sin had lost all sinfulness. Sin had lost all its ugliness. Sin had lost all its... Hey, brothers. Look at verse 7. I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Verse 8, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man in an intimate physical manner. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my... I don't know if there is a more stunning verse in all of the Word of God than verse number 8. You know, I would not put that behavior on a lost man. I wouldn't expect a lost man to turn two virgin daughters over to... Sodomite men. But a man who was righteous, a man who was just in the eyes of God, how does this happen? Lot lived in a city full of sin, inundated with vile, wicked behavior, and he absorbed it to the place where sin lost all of its sinfulness, lost all of its ugliness, lost all of its vile. You know, Peter's book tells us that Lot's righteous soul was vexed. The word means worn down. Here's a righteous man. He had lived with his uncle Abraham, the father of the faithful, the patriarch of Genesis. He had been reared in an environment where God was feared and reverenced and respected. But people, when he chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom, he put himself in a place of wicked and vile behavior. And you know what happened eventually? It wore his soul down. And he becomes numb to it. It doesn't bother him anymore. Doesn't make him sick to his stomach. And can I say this morning that it is possible for you and me to arrive at a place. We're living in a sin-sick world. It's sin. It's sick. It's so depraved and wicked. And people, if we are not careful, living here, we'll absorb all that's around us. And we'll do it by seeing and hearing. And before long, it just, do you remember when abortion used to just, we don't hardly respond that way anymore. When the thought of drunkenness, dope addiction, loose living between men and women just, but if we're not careful, we'll be like Lot. It's possible for us to live in a place where we just come to the place where we don't just see it as it really is, but we get worn down by sin to the place where sin loses its ugliness. You know what's said, and I've had this happen here, and other preachers I know have had it happen to them. It's becoming commonplace for people in churches whose relatives have chosen the lifestyle of sodomy to get offended when a preacher preaches against that lifestyle. Get offended when a preacher is preaching against sodomy. And it amazes me, and you know, I'm not just picking on you, but a lot of times now, it's the world you young adults or you teenagers are growing up in. And more than once I've heard the response, well, I would never live like that, but if that's what they want, it's their choice. Like, you know, so what? I'll tell you, folks, it's vile. It's wicked. It's ungodly. It's heathen. Animals. Animals don't live like that. Come on down to the farm. Come on out to the barn. Two roosters. It ain't happening. But people get upset. You know, I do not believe that living in Abraham's house, Lot would have approved of that sin. I think in Abraham's house, Lot would have been sickened by that sin. And let's give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he was not aware when he moved there what kind of city Sodom was. But my question is, why didn't he leave? You know, after a week or two there, you know, why didn't Lot gather up all of his daughters and say, we're out of here. We're out of here. I'm going to tell you one reason. And I'm not just shooting from the hip. I'm not just giving you my opinion. One reason, it was lucrative. It was good money. That was the first thing that caught Lot's attention about Sodom. The well-watered plains of Jordan. Well-watered means green grass. Green grass means lots of food for my herds and my flocks. And strong herds and flocks and many herds and flocks can be sold for money and lots of it. He sold out his Christianity. He sold out his family for money. Money. Don't think that doesn't happen today. So many things in life are more important than money. I wonder how much that money was worth when he couldn't talk his two son-in-laws married to his two daughters out of the city of Sodom. I wonder how important that bank account was then. When his daughters and his son-in-laws, possibly grandchildren, were incinerated with fire and brimstone. How's that? How are those investments looking now? Lot. I'll tell you something, folks. We have to be careful. There was a lucrative nature to the city of Sodom, and Lot moved there. But wait a minute, there was something else too. Verse number 1 in chapter 19 tells us, you can see it right here in your Bible, that Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Don't think those are unimportant words. You know what happened at the gate of the gates of cities, the main gate of the city? That's where the business took place. That's like the courthouse here in Kankakee County. This is where all the business took place. This is where the movers and shakers sat together. The who's who of Sodom assembled there at the gate. And Lot moved in. Evidently, he was a good businessman. His flocks and herds had grown to the place where he and Abraham couldn't even stay together. He moves in. He's got an acumen, a propensity for making money. And all of a sudden, he's sitting with the movers and shakers in the gate. He's one of the who's who of Sodom assembled there. He's sitting with the elite. He's sitting with the city fathers, with the men who made all the money, among those who were the financial and entertainment moguls of Sodom, if you will. Esteem. I'm somebody here. People know my name. There's Lot. Lot's a good businessman. Folks, I'm not against being a good businessman. I'm not against making money, saving money. Heaven help us. I'm not against that. But I am saying this morning, according to a book here, that God has a chapter here that God has recorded for us and saved it for us, that it is possible for God's people to come to the place in this world, if they value esteem and riches above truth, it's possible that we'll dumb down how awful sin is because of that money and because of that esteem. And that's what Lot did. He was a mover and a shaker. And can I tell you, Lot did not have to be there. He chose to be there. He put himself there. He planted himself among that crowd and became respected, and he became well-liked. And Lot was among those who were drinking and carousing and playing loose and full of pride. You say, how do you know all that was going on? Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16 lists it all. And once again, folks, Lot may never have participated in all those things I just mentioned, but he's right there. He's this close to it. This close to it. I understand some people can't help the place where you work. You know what? We sit sometimes in the conference room back here, and I remind the men who are on staff here that we are blessed. We work in a place where only Brother Andrew smokes every now and again, okay? We don't hear any dirty jokes. And we don't hear any profanity. And we come here, and if the music plays, it's gospel music. It's God-honoring music. And nobody's flirting around with somebody else's spouse. We're blessed to work in this kind of environment. I know the environment you guys work in because I worked in that myself as a college student. And sometimes you can't pick and choose. But I'm going to tell you something. You can pick and choose how close you let yourself get. Amen. And you can pick and choose the parties. Amen. You can pick and choose those alcohol-infested, loose-living, promiscuous parties where God's name is damned and thrown around like a piece of trash. You can choose that. You can choose to go back to the motel room like my dad did every business trip. Hey, Robert, let's go down to the gentleman's club. Nothing more wrongly named than a gentleman's club. It's a pervert's club. And my dad would say, no, I'll go to my room. And for all those years, he was faithful to that lady that's sitting out there. They sent her to his door. At 11 o'clock at night, who's there? Just need to know if you need anything. I'm fine. I'm going to tell you what happens to God's people. Born again, saved people. If we're not careful, we let sin dumb us down to the place where it's just not that vile anymore. It's just not that ugly anymore. I'm going to tell you something. Drunkenness is a vile sin. And playing around with another man's wife or another woman's husband is a vile sin. It's wicked. It's ungodly. And you guys better be careful that you don't let a lucrative, elite opportunity suck you into the place where you're non-committal about what's wrong and what's right. Sin lost all sinfulness. You know what the problem is? You know, we think, well, okay, yeah, it happened to Lot, but it won't happen to me. That's a death sentence. If it happened to Lot, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. And I just want to remind you this morning, that you know what? You and I could take a dumbed down approach to sin, but sin doesn't change. It's a killer. It is a killer. Sin and death go hand in hand. It kills. It kills, not just in the lives of those who practice it, but it will wear down the souls of those who plant themselves more than they have to in the middle of it and grow to accept it as normal. You know, I've told before my uncle, everybody has a favorite uncle. My mother's brother, YT, was the boy's favorite uncle growing up. Not that we didn't love Raymond and Carrie and all those, but YT was close and he was a lot of fun. He wasn't too far removed from our age, actually, and just a lot of fun. And he had a little raccoon that he caught, a little baby, a little kit. Not like you put together slot A to slot B. I'm talking about the little animal, the little kit, a raccoon. He named it Trickenham. Have no idea where that comes from, Trickenham. And he used to bring that little raccoon around and he'd get it out of play with it and everything. We held it and everything. Oh, it was his little buddy until one day it bit him. Good. I don't know what happened to Trickenham. Probably find him at the bottom of the Chattahoochee River, I imagine. Should that have surprised? I can't believe this raccoon. Do you know that a big old boar raccoon can kill a dog? They can get on their head and claw their neck from above and kill them. Kill them. I'm sitting in my house one day, forget what was going on. We had a dog at that time named Duke. That's just a great name for a dog, isn't it? Fluffy, just doesn't seem to be a name for a dog. Duke, and he was a pit bull. Brother Luke, you remember Duke. He was a part pit bull, and I mean, I know if that freaks people out, I get it. Yeah, but he was the best. I'm sitting there, I hear this most awful racket from those pine trees behind my house. I mean, awful racket. What in the world is that? Carries on for, here comes old Duke crawling out of those pine trees. Got blood dripping from his eye and his ear. But there was a dead raccoon in that tree, in those trees. That coon had gotten on him. He fought it off. So that raccoon bites my uncle's finger. I can't believe, why would a raccoon bite my, I can't. Hello? You heard those stories about those guys that like to photograph the bears? Yeah. And sleep with the bears. Yeah. And isn't it surprising you read about them in the newspaper or the magazine? He got eaten by the... You're not going to change the nature of an animal, folks. And you're not going to change the nature of sin. Not going to change it. What's your attitude about drunkenness? Is it so common at work? It's just like, oh, well. I'm not saying it's your responsibility to jerk everybody around. You can't fight. No, but I'm saying it is our responsibility that sin keeps its sinfulness to us. And it's yuck, it's nasty, it's vile, and the poor, pitiful people who are caught up in it, God help them, and Lord, speak to their hearts, but this is not anything I can just kind of... Yeah, here, take my two girls. Dude, what? And what has happened to this man? Reared in Abraham's home. What's happened to him? No big deal. Oh, it's a big deal. Sin had lost its sinfulness. But that's not all. Number two, judgment had lost all eminence. Now stick with me. Judgment had lost all eminence. Look at verse number 13. The angels are saying to Lot now, okay, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And then we read verse 15, the angels are hastening, Lot, come on, you're going to get consumed in the iniquity of this city. Judgment was imminent. What does that mean, people? It means it was near. It was at hand. It was about to happen. It's right at the threshold. That's what imminent means, and that's exactly what the angels told Lot. The angels hastened Lot. Come on, man. Hurry up. Let's go. We got to get out of here. This place is about to go up in smoke. And with that judgment, that close, Lot's lingering around. Why isn't he running? Why is he grabbing his children, his wife? Why does he have to be taken by the head? Why isn't he running ahead of the angels? He's lingering. The nearness of certain judgment, for some reason, didn't shake Lot at all. It didn't move him to make a definitive decision to get out of here. In light of the soon judgment, you would think that Lot would have moved decisively and quickly. But the reality of pending judgment didn't register with Lot. He was so in love with his lifestyle. Judgment did not move him. And people today are much the same. You know what's sad? You can't shake God's people with preaching or teaching on coming judgment. It's just kind of like, whoosh, in one ear and out the other. We hear a message on judgment, and you say, okay, yeah, all right, let's see. I hope the roast is not overcooked. Judgment. And decisions that should be made are left unmade. Trips to humbly kneel at an altar and confess what God has put on our heart. We don't kneel and seek His forgiveness and confess our condition to God. And the thought of, oh, well, you know, so what? Yeah, I know. Yeah, one of these days, I know. Judgment is coming. We can't be shaken anymore by preaching on intimate judgment. I'm talking about saved and unsaved. Not moved by the reality of judgment, folks, that awaits us at any moment. I know this is not popular, but how do you read this book without preaching on judgment once in a while? How do you read that? For those that are saved, the judgment seat of Christ waits. I believe it's the first thing that takes place after we're raptured to heaven. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. They're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of sin, but I don't believe it's going to be a walk in the park for God's people. Say, oh, good. Man, alive. I was afraid they were going to drop down a big screen and throw all my actions up there. I don't think that's what's going to happen at the judgment seat. But what you and I have done for Jesus since we got saved is going to be judged by fire. And that's not symbolic. The fire will consume the wood, the hay, and the stubble of a carnal, worldly, temporal lifestyle, behavior. People, do you really think it will be pleasant to stand before Jesus with only ashes to show for our lack of service to Him? That does not sound like a walk in the park to me. But you can't, nobody makes any changes. Nobody fixes anything. We just carry on and linger. with judgment pending. One of these days, yeah, I know, I got to get that fixed. One of these days, there is no pre-warning for the rapture of saved people. Get ready now, in 4 days, I'm coming. No, none of that. Jesus is going to come suddenly, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Boom, at the last trump, at the trumpet sound, the voice of the archangel. That's when it's going to happen. And we're going to be ushered right into heaven. Yes, wonderful. In the presence of Jesus. Yes, wonderful. Now it's time for the judgment seat of Christ. Oh boy, okay, here it comes. I'm not going to get nailed for my sin, but I am going to get nailed for what I did for Christ. And maybe my attitude towards all that sin should have been tweaked. But it's too late. We yawn off the reality of the judgment that we could be standing at before tomorrow dawns. Nobody here can refute that. Oh, you might refute it, but you can't refute it biblically. We could be there before Monday morning dawns. But it doesn't shake us. And those who are unsaved, have no assurance of heaven, they don't seem to be too bothered about how quickly hell could be their portion. No urgency to make the decision to trust Christ, yeah. You know, D.L. Moody was, of course, a wonderful preacher and had those great ministries in Massachusetts and here in Chicago. And up here in Chicago one time in the old Moody Church, I think it was Falwell Hall, actually. I may have my wrong on that, but I think it was Falwell Hall. And he preached a Sunday evening on the subject, What Think Ye of Christ? What Think Ye of Christ? And he was always, his custom was to always give an invitation. But he came down to the end of the message, and for some reason he told that crowd, full building, he said, What think ye of Christ? He said, I'm not going to give an invitation. I want you to think about it for the next 7 days. What think ye of Christ? And he dismissed the crowd, 1873. Unknowing to D.L. Moody, he dismissed that crowd into the very beginning of the Great Chicago Fire. His house was burned. The church was burned. Many of the people who were at attendance at that meeting, they lost everything in the fire. They couldn't meet the next Sunday night at Falwell Hall. It was gone. And it haunted D.L. Moody for the rest of his ministry. That he had dismissed the crowd after preaching about salvation and not urging them, not pressing them to make a decision for Christ and do it now. Don't linger or wait 7 days. Don't wait 7 hours. Don't wait 7 minutes. Make a decision for Christ now. So much so that he never preached again without giving an invitation. Pressing people to be saved. Why? We have no guarantees of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou mayest know it's not what a day may bring forth. The day may bring forth. The day may not bring forth our death. The day may bring forth the rapture. And we're gone. And there's no time to fix it. Hey, I'm sorry if this really upsets your stomach and maybe turns your pleasant Sunday into unpleasant Sunday. But people, judgment is coming. The Bible has promised it. God's Word has recorded it. And you can mark it down. An imminent judgment should cause us to hasten to get things right. Hasten to get things fixed. If I need to fix something, I don't want to linger and wait without, what's going to happen tomorrow? Judgment lost its imminence. No urgency. None. No urgency. You know, people sometimes who are not familiar with maybe independent Baptist churches, our town, you know, even this type of preaching, they come like, man, you're loud and you're, I wouldn't call it acrobatic. I would call it, you know, what do you call it? Acrobatic. I don't know, you know. You say, passionate. Thank you, brother. What? Why do you raise your voice? Why do you clap your... Because there is an urgency to the things of God. So many people are passive to those things. Lot lingered. Girls, y'all need to sit down, okay? Can y'all help those girls have a seat? Come on, girls, sit down there, please. We don't walk around. Judgment is coming. Sin had lost all sinfulness. Judgment had lost all eminence. I mean, the fire and brimstone is coming and Lot is lingering. Come on, Lot. Come on, Lot. Come on, Lot. We got to go. We got to go. Come on. Can you imagine? What does a preacher have to do? Come take you by the hand in the pew and say, let's get this right. Is that what we have to do? Come on, you know this truth is hitting home. Come on, you know. Come on, what are we? Let's go. God's people should run. Sin lost all sinfulness. Judgment lost all eminence. I won't be long. Number three, we're done. Witness had lost all seriousness. Did you hear what I said? Witness had lost all seriousness. Look at verse 14. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. We always say two, but it's plural. It could have been three, four. How do we know how many? He spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Look at this. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Serious? You're kidding me. You want me to start thinking about God all of a sudden, all this time? We've lived down here. And you want me to start thinking about God and judgment? And you got to be kidding me. People, this is the honest truth. I have sat in homes in this area. I have witnessed to a man and a woman, if they were married, living together or what, but a couple. And you get to talking to them about Christ. And one of the two says, I'm saved. And the other one goes, it's like, you've got to be kidding. And you press upon the lost individual to trust Christ. And you know what? The attitude is, if they're okay, I'm okay. How horrible. How horrible. And maybe this is why Lot is lingering. Maybe his mind in that moment is on his daughters and sons-in-law who laughed at him. Folks, he really messed up. He messed up. And you know what? Maybe somebody in here is messed up. Guess what? You still have time to fix it. You got time to kneel and say, God, please, please forgive me for becoming numb to the sin that's all around me, even almost giving my stamp of approval. It's just, oh, it's okay, it's normal. Forgive me for being so lackadaisical about fixing things in my life. Judgment is imminent. Lord, I don't want my witness to not be taken seriously. Look, do you understand that there are a lot of people who believe that Lot and his family is a picture of the rapture? Because God took them out before judgment came. Right? And for those of us who are saved, God, if we're still living, God's going to take us out before the tribulation begins. But how is He going to take you out? Trumpet sounds. Brother Miller's ready. Man, he's not a perfect man, but he's had his heart set for the Lord. Tried to live for God. Trumpet sounds. There we go. A little slow, but we'll take it, okay? He is caught up. Caught up. Hang on, just stay right there. No. Play right here. Bumper to luck. Come up hither. Come on. Come on, time to go. Thank you. Look, I know it's not going to happen like that, but it was kind of fun. But you know the definitions of the rapture are caught up, and snatched away. Caught up, snatched away. How are you going up? Even so, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready as best as I can be. Well, you know, just give me a couple more minutes. Let me check my stocks one more time. Let me check these investments. Poor man. I mean this. Poor, pitiful lot. I don't care how wealthy he was. He's pitiful. 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 And he had to be taken out of that place. God help us. Oh, it's just another story. It's even Old Testament. Excuse me. It's in this book. I wouldn't count anything non-essential that God put in the pages of this book. Do you need to learn something from Lot's lingering? God been trying to get your attention lately? Come on, time to fix some things. Get some things back on. You been doing that? Don't hesitate. Don't linger. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll use your word in our hearts this morning. I pray, God, that we'll be honest and humble before you. And Lord, what do we need to fix? What do we need to get right? What do we need to hasten about? What do we need to come and say, God, forgive me and help me? What do we need to do? Do we need to get saved? What do we need? God, please. Help us not to end up like Lot. What a pitiful, pitiful man. A saved man. Father, help us this morning. Speak to us. Oh, God, please, may we not turn a deaf ear to the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What happened this morning during the preaching of God's Word in your heart? Did the Spirit of God put His finger, raise a question, cause a little bit of concern in your heart about something that was preached today? You said, Pastor, pray for me. I don't need to go into detail. I don't want to go into detail, but just pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air, please, wherever you're sitting? I see those hands. God bless you. Do you need to get something fixed, folks? Need to get something fixed? Need to get something fixed? Now's the time. Don't be passive about it. Don't linger. When God has worked. Question. How about salvation? Are you born again? You know for a Bible reason that heaven is your home. Pastor, I don't know that. Concerns me. Pray for me. Slip your hand in the air. I'll pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Side to side. Front to back. Member of his. Doesn't matter. I'm not sure I'm saved. And I've got to get this fixed. It's got to be done. If you're here today, you've been saved but not baptized. You came to obey the Lord and believers' baptism. Now's the time. But folks, this is it. This is what I'm talking about. This is the urgency of truth. If God has put His finger on something, it's time to get it at least started in the right direction, not to ignore it. Father, bless the invitation as only you can. Speak to our hearts. You know how in my own heart this morning, God, as I'm preaching, you put your finger on something that needs to be fixed. So, Lord, I want to help you. I need your help. Please, give us a sense of urgency, not hesitancy about obeying you. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The music begins. It's time to obey the Lord. May God speak to you this morning. Is there a sense of urgency in your heart? Is there a sense of urgency at all? May God help us this morning. It's time to act. It's time to act. Oh, God, help us to act.